I want to just... Many of us can remember times in our lives when we've done things that we have regretted. There's times when we've made mistakes as part of how we grow in life and how we learn. As we look back on those times, we think to ourselves, I'll never do that again. We know better than to do it the next time around, because if we want to do the right thing the next time around, we won't do what got us in trouble to begin with. Sort of the same with God's people and God's congregations. It's by looking back through the past and seeing the different things that congregations have done and how God has reacted and worked in those congregations that we can say, well, we'll never do that again, but we are going to go in a new direction. This is what was going on with God's people here in the book of Nehemiah. They had come back from 70 years of exile to settle the land and rebuild the walls around Jerusalem. If you remember, Nehemiah went to the king of Persia and his heart was burdened because he heard the walls were still torn down, and he asked to go back and rebuild them. The king granted his wish and he went back, and as did other people, they were allowed to come back and they were resettling the land. But here was a people that were different. As they come back, they began to be transformed and they began to become committed again to the Lord. They were what we call a committed congregation. They were people who were bound and determined not to make the mistakes they had previously made, but to go on in this new direction and do what was pleasing to the Lord. And that was to support God's house and keep it pure. Biblically, a committed congregation is committed to obedience, purity, and responsibility. A committed congregation is a congregation of transformed people. Transformed people are a covenantal people. A people who have covenanted with God and made a promise to God. And God in turn has made a promise to His committed congregation. And that transformation begins with consistently reading God's Word. So we see these people day after day read God's Word for long periods of time, and they began to go in a new direction. That direction was the direction that God wanted them to go in. And it began by consistently reading God's Word. Second, that transformation continued in a God-centered worship. It was not emotional. It was not all about emotions. It can never be about emotions. Our relationship with God and Jesus Christ can never be about emotions, because when it is, when our emotions die down, so does our faith, so does our relationship, and it doesn't work that way. It's through the revelation of Almighty God and reading His Word every day. And it continues on in having a God-centered worship where God is uplifted during worship. That God, remembering that God is who He is. He's a redeemer. He's a transformer. He's a provider. He's the God who loves. He's the God who does not abandon His people. He's the God who sustains His people. He's the God who is faithful and protects His people. The God who rescues His people but yet warns them. And a God who is just and faithful. That's what a God-centered worship is about. It's about God, recognizing who God is. But we also see what was happening to these people was a result of this transformation. Through reading God's Word and putting God at the center of their worship time, chapter 9, verse 38 tells us, in view of all this, in view of reading God's Word, seeing how God revealed Himself in His Word, and praising Almighty God for who He is, we are making a binding agreement. We're making a covenant, a promise, putting it in writing, and our leaders as our spokesmen, our leaders in our stead, our Levites and our priests are putting their stamp, their seal on it, that yes, this is what we agree on, and this is what we commit our lives to. So the transformation comes full circle or concludes with a commitment to follow God's commands, God's decrees, and God's statutes. And that's what they were doing here. In view of who You are, God, and what You've done for us, we are recommitting ourselves to Your commands and decrees and statutes. That's called a covenant. We're making a new covenant with You. But also, a committed congregation has to remember that commitment involves obedience, purity, and responsibility. And that's the hard part. It tells us that the rest of the people, the priests, the Levites, the gatekeepers, singers, temple servants, and all the people who separated themselves from the neighboring peoples for the sake of the law of God, all these people together with their wives, their sons and daughters who were able to understand, all these now joined together. They joined their brothers, the nobles, and they bind themselves with a curse and an oath to follow the law of God given through Moses, the servant of God, and to obey carefully all the commands, regulations, and decrees of the Lord our God, of Yahweh our God. We bind ourselves together to follow and to obey, to follow the law of God and to obey carefully all the commands and regulations and decrees. We're joined and we're bound. Now that's not bound up in that they can't do anything. It's bound like a book who has a front and a back cover. All that's contained therein is their commitment. We're putting ourselves together in one accord and agreeing, being bound together in what we're agreeing to and committing ourselves to right now. There was no division of one person believing this and another person believing that. There was no diversity in how we should do things, who we should worship. The only thing in their spiritual portfolio was their commitment to follow the law of God. They were joined together and bound together in one accord. They bound themselves with a curse and an oath. There was a negative and a positive side. Your curse be on us, O God, if we don't follow your commands. And we promise in an oath, which is a declaration based on an appeal to God to speak the truth and keep the promise. We promise to speak the truth and keep your commands and decrees. So a committed congregation has to be an obedient congregation, being obedient to God's laws and decrees and commands. Also, the committed congregation has to be responsible. There has to be purity in our congregation. These people next said that we promise not to give our daughters in marriage to the peoples around us or take their daughters for our sons. We promise to be obedient, but we promise not to give our daughters in marriage to the people around us. Why was that? Well, this is what got them in trouble in the first place. God said, I'm giving you this promised land of Canaan. I want you to go in there and I want you to take it over. I want you to kill the people that are there and take over their land. Don't intermarry or intermingle. Why was that? Because God knew those people worshipped other gods. And if his people intermingled with them, soon his people would also be worshipping other gods and be involved in pagan worship and pagan ways. So he said, go in there and slay those people and take over the land. But they didn't listen. They were disobedient to God. They went in and they intermarried and interspersed with the people living in that land. And you know something, folks? That's why there's trouble in the Middle East today. If they would have been obedient to God and went in and taken over the land and conquered it and not intermingled with the people, we wouldn't have the problems in the Middle East that we do. Ever since that time, there has been fighting in the Middle East. All because God's congregation was not committed to obedience. And here again, they're saying, we are committing ourselves to being pure, your people, not taking in others for the fear that we will accept their ways and go their way. Now, does that mean that we're not to take anyone in our doors? We're to close our doors and not let anyone in? No. Does that mean that we're only going to let perfect people in? No, because if we did that, nobody would be here, including myself. What that means is that we are committed to being pure, being a pure congregation that worships only you, God, and confesses our sin and accepts only your Son as our atonement for sin. So there needs to be obedience. There needs to be purity in God's congregation. And thirdly, there needs to be responsibility.
when the neighboring peoples bring merchandise or grain to sell on the Sabbath, we will not buy from them or on any holy day. In fact, every seventh year we will forego working the land and will cancel all debts. We'll be responsible in celebrating the Sabbath and celebrating together, in honoring the Sabbath and keeping it holy. Next, we assume the responsibility to carry out the obligation to give. Now, this is hard for a lot of people. We assume the responsibility for carrying out, acting out the commands to give a third of the shekel each year for the service of the house of our God. Now, sometimes in the Bible, when the Bible speaks about the house of God, it's talking about God's people. That's not what it's talking about here. It's talking about God's temple, God's place of worship. And they said that we assume the responsibility to carry out the command to give to God's house, to supply it for the bread set out on the table, for the regular grain offerings, the burnt offerings, the offerings on the Sabbaths, new moon festivals, and appointed feasts, for the holy offerings, for sin offerings to make atonement for Israel. In other words, we are taking and assuming the responsibility to give, to supply all the needs of your house, O God. In fact, we've even arranged and cast lots to determine when each of the families will do that. We assume the responsibility to carry it out, to act it out. We also assume responsibility to bring in to the house of the Lord each year the first fruit of our crops and of every fruit tree. We assume the responsibility to carry out, but we assume the responsibility to bring in, to offer our best to the Lord of what we are blessed with, to offer our offspring to the Lord and offer our possessions to the Lord. As it is also written, we will bring the firstborn of our sons, of our cattle, of our herds, of our flocks, to the house of God. In fact, moreover, even better than that, we'll bring to the storerooms of the house of God, to the priest, the first of our ground meal, of our grain offerings, the fruit of all of our trees, and of our new wine and oil. And we'll bring a tithe of our crops to the Levites, because it's the Levites who collect the tithes in the towns where we work. They promise to be obedient. They promise to be pure. They assume the responsibility to carry out their obligations. They assume the responsibility to bring their best and to supply for the needs of God's house and all those that serve there. And their last line in verse 10, he says, we will not neglect the house of our God. We will not neglect the house of our God. We are committed to not neglect the house of our God. You know what that word neglect meant in the original Hebrew word? It meant to loosen, to permit. We will not loosen up from this. We will not permit any straying from this. We will not neglect being committed to doing this. We're going to stand firm and we're going to stand tall. We're going to be obedient, we're going to be pure, and we're going to be responsible. That's a committed congregation. We say, well, how can we determine if we're a committed congregation? First of all, have you made a promise to God? Have we made a promise to God together to keep His house pure and not neglect, not loosen up and allow some loose doctrines and loose theology to come in? We're bound together by this from cover to cover to stand firm and to stand tall on what the Word of the Lord says. Have we promised to keep God's house pure? The best way to do it is to stay in here, to read from here, to learn from here. Have we made a promise to give and support His house? Now, what does that mean? It means that have we made a commitment or a covenant with God to give to God's house? Well, in the Old Testament, they said we're supposed to give 10% or a tithe. Doesn't say that in the New Testament. Paul said to the Corinthians, give as you have prospered. Give as according to how God has prospered you. Well, how much is that? It's all right here.
We say, how much has God prospered me this week? How much has God prospered me in this last year? I'm going to give. If He's blessed me greatly, I'm going to give greatly. If He's only blessed me with a dollar, I'm still going to give. And I'll tell you something, that when you are committed to giving to the Lord and to God's house, when you are committed in your heart, you will always give more than 10%. Because you'll be moved and committed, trusting that God is who He says He is, that He's done what He has done in your life, and He will continue to do what He says He's going to do, and that's provide for you. You know, folks, we don't give for our benefit. We give for the benefit of the world. It comes in, it's funneled down through here, and it goes back out there. That's the plan. That's why God wants us to give. Not to meet an obligation, to give grudgingly. The Bible says don't give grudgingly. God loves a cheerful giver. And the word that's used for cheerful means hilarious. In other words, we give to the point where it's funny. I can't believe I'm giving this much, but God's moved me. And I know He's going to provide again. That's a committed congregation. And thirdly, have we assumed the responsibility to bring to God our best? To bring Him our best. Everything that you do from the time you put your feet on the floor in the morning till the time that you lay down in bed at night. Have we assumed the responsibility to give God our best? Proverbs 16, it sums it all up by saying, commit to the Lord whatever you do. Whatever you do. Whether it's plowing a field, whether it's cleaning out a manure pit, whether it's in a sports event for you kids, whether it's in school when the teacher lays that test on your desk, you commit it to the Lord. You know what will happen? Your plans will succeed. Your plans will succeed. Because it says the Lord works out everything for His own ends. Everything for His own ends. And when you commit to the Lord, whatever you do, your plans will succeed. Whether it's in your personal life or whether it's in a congregation or in a church. It's important to be a committed congregation, committing our ways to the Lord, being obedient to Him, being a pure church, and being responsible, assuming the responsibilities of God's people.